The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. After the 5,000 had eaten and were satisfied, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and precede him to the other side toward Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. And while he had taken leave of them, he went off to the mountain to pray. When it was evening, the boat was far out on the sea, and he was alone on the shore. Then they saw that they were tossed about while rowing, for the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out. They had all seen him and were terrified. But at once he spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." He got into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely astounded. They had not understood the incident of the loaves. On the contrary, their hearts were hardened. The Gospel of the Lord. There's one line and one line only here in this little gospel that will help make everything clear and give you something pretty important to pray about. And that line is that Jesus intended to pass them by. He had just multiplied the loaves and the fishes, as the story was told yesterday in the gospel. And now, the apostles were far out onto the Sea of Galilee, and in the fourth watch of the night, while the wind was against them, Jesus came to them walking on the water. And the strangest little line, he intended to pass them by. And you might not have even heard it or paid attention. But if you were an Old Testament-loving Israelite, you would have understood clearly what that line meant. Now to us, it appears to make no sense at all. Why would Jesus come walking on the water only just to keep on walking, right? Pass them by. And the fact of the matter is, in the Old Testament, when God passes you by, it is a revelation of who he is, and it's meant to strengthen your faith. A couple stories for you. You remember the story of Moses and the Ten Commandments? And he comes down Mount Sinai with the tablets of the Ten Commandments written by the finger of God himself to give to the people, when suddenly Moses is astonished and heartbroken to see that the people have all turned against the God who led them out of slavery in Egypt and made for themselves a golden calf. Moses smashes the Ten Commandments on the ground, and his faith is shaken. That's when God steps in and helps. He says, "Moses, I will show you my glory. I will pass you by." And his faith is strengthened. Then there's a story of Elijah, the great prophet who did nothing but say yes to God all his life, and it got him into a heap of trouble. The queen of Israel, Queen Jezebel, had a bounty on his head, and Elijah was running for his life, hiding in a cave, and his faith was shaken. That's when God comes to Elijah and says, "Elijah, I will show you my glory. I will pass you by." And it strengthens his faith. Well, now, the apostles have just seen Jesus multiply the loaves and the fishes, and they know this is no ordinary rabbi. They know that there's something very, very special about this Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus knows this is the time to reveal to his apostles who he really is. So he comes to them walking on the water, intending to pass them by. Now, why did he do it walking on the water? You might say that it was because there was a storm on the sea. But what's interesting about this passage is there's no storm on the sea. Not this time. It said that they were facing a headwind, but there was no mention of a storm. See, the fact of the matter is, if you were an Israelite, you knew that water was a symbol of disorder, chaos, and sin. And God was going to show them that he was the master of all that man had feared all his life. Remember the story of creation back in the book of Genesis? And before God brought order to the world, the Spirit hovered over the waters. The waters, once again, a symbol of chaos and disorder. Then there's the story of Noah and the great flood. God cleanses the world of all the darkness of sin by having a flood the world over. Or the story of the prophet Jonah, who tries to run away from God, and in his hard-heartedness, turning from God, he's cast down into the depths of the sea where he's swallowed up by the whale, deep within the belly of the sea. The water's a symbol of chaos, disorder, and sin. Now here's Jesus, the absolute master of all that. He's going to show the apostles who he really is. He's going to pass them by, walking on the sea. And not only that, he turns to them and he says, "It is I." Literally, the word he would have spoken was ego eimi, which means I am. Remember the story of Moses when God told him who he really was? He said to Moses, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And here's Jesus. He wants to show the apostles who he really is. It's the perfect moment, and then comes the key line of the whole text. He says, "Their hearts were hardened." Why were their hearts hardened? Well, one of the things that we learn from the scriptures whenever we see the apostles is we learn about ourselves. The faults that you see in the apostles are your faults. And the fact of the matter is, you harden your heart too, and so does your priest. Because the hardening of your heart is your defensive, preemptive response to a God who frightens you, because you are afraid of what he might ask of you next. We harden our hearts because we are afraid, and we all do this, afraid of what God might ask of us next. That was the apostles, and that's you as well. You say, "I've given enough, I can't give any more," and you harden your heart. You hope that God will go away. Or you say to yourself, "I can't forgive. I can't bring myself to forgive after what's happened to me," and you harden your heart and you hope that God will just go away. Or maybe there's someone in your life and God wants you to witness to that person, but you just can't bring yourself to do it, and you harden your heart and you say, "Lord, I've given enough," and you hope that God will just go away. Does that describe you? I think if you're honest, you'll have to say the answer is yes a dozen times a day. And if it does, a little prayer that it's a tremendous, tremendous help. Very short little prayer. When you feel your heart hardened to what you think God is asking of you, just pray, "Lord, put your desire into my heart." That's all you pray. "Lord, put your desire into my heart." I knew a young man once, true story now, scared to death that God was going to call him to be a priest. He said, "Lord, I love you. I'll do anything you want, but not that." He just wouldn't entertain the idea. And somebody helped him, came up to him and said, "Listen, just if it's God's will, how can you go wrong just by making this prayer? Lord, put your desire into my heart. Lord, if you want it, make me want it." And would you believe that guy's a priest today? True story. God's desire is greatly, greatly good, but it must be our desire as well. Like our first reading said so beautifully, perfect love casts out fear, that we might have the love for the goodwill that God has and have no more fear of what God might ask of us. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Raymond of Penyafort, pray for us.